You're listening to a podcast from Newstalk ZB. Follow this and our wide range of podcasts now on iHeartRadio. Newstalk ZB.
Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. Teacher strikes every day, it seems to be. Something I can't really get that exercised about these days now that I don't have kids at school. But anyway, lots of people do. The National Party is too worried about its image, I think is what Heather's going to say shortly. Let's just get on with being the National Party. Tennis ain't what it used to be, according to Simon Barnett. And the wallaby fence, to keep the wallabies out. Marcus, very excited about this. Kerry Woodham, very excited about the situation in Opotiki, in which nobody can do anything because the gang's holding the whole town to ransom, apparently.
They haven't earned anything. And they don't seem to have delivered much either. They have been treated as though they have an equal say and an equal right without doing anything to earn that. And this is the sum result. I am so sick and tired of seeing the brazen macho posturing of all of these gangs who choose to live outside the normal bounds of society and who are really, really proud of it. You see the pride they take in the motorbikes. You see how they love hanging together and, as a group, inspiring awe among some kids with very few choices in life, and fear in those who think, what the hell are those guys going to do next? Because they know. Your ordinary citizen knows if whatever they decide to do, there is going to be precious little that the police can or will do about it. They have been sticking two fingers to the rest of us for years and years. And the situation at Porticky is an inevitable result of gangs being allowed to do whatever the hell they want.
So, yeah, Kerry coming out very strongly against gangs in general there. Yesterday, I often wonder when I was listening to her as she said that stuff yesterday, and I often wonder when I hear those sorts of things what the gangs think. And then I think to myself, are gangs massive listeners to Newstalk ZB? Not sure.
Newstalk ZB.
So anyway, yeah, the Opotiki school's closed. But then you never really know when the school's going to be open at the moment these days anyway because of all the strikes, right, Kate? And she's annoyed.
The teachers who are aware of the support they're losing from parents and students say they too would like it to be over now. But this is the problem with ardent unionists. You know, they're zealots for principle, irrespective of the collateral damage. And these kids are collateral damage. The unionised teachers who are digging in have maybe lost sight of what's actually happening here now. You know, they're making a rod for their own backs with the amount of time and teaching they're going to have to make up for these kids who've got NCA grades and internals due. You know, the curriculum keeps going. It doesn't just stop because teachers walk out. So these kids are in catch-up mode, and it's those teachers who are having to get these kids through and get them achieving their credits. How will they feel when they finish all their strike action and return to a classroom where their students are all stressed and falling behind? You know, I'm at a loss to understand how this has gone on so long at this level of our children's education. How is it we are at a point where they're sacrificing our children and their learning just to make a point?
Yeah, I don't know. I still tend to think if you've got this many people up in arms about what's happening, you're making quite a good point. But like I say, I'm not very close to it given that I don't have kids at school and I don't ever want to think about school ever again because I hated it so much when I was there.
Newstalk ZB.
Now, the National Party, they seem to be doing all right in terms of, you know, popularity and polls and stuff like that. The only people who really seem to be that worried about them are them. Well, according to Heather, anyway.
And it's not just Luxon who suffered the same fate at the hands of his National Party colleagues. It's also what happened to Simeon Brown when he said he would rather have Waka Kotahi NZTA fix potholes than focus on Te Reo Māori road signs. perfectly fair thing for him to say. Suddenly that was a massive problem. I'll be honest with you about what Chris Luxon says. I actually don't have an opinion on what he said yesterday. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. But he did, which is why he said it, and I'm pleased to see he's sticking by it. And hopefully this is the start of the Nats starting to grow a bit of a spine and realising that they do not need to win the media over. The media immediately plucked this comment out and put it out there, just like they did with his baby's comment, because they knew that it would get clicks and it would enrage some people on Twitter, and that's exactly what happened. And people were enraged enough to stick a poll up on one of the websites and ask, well, do you agree with Chris Luxon or not? And guess what? 62% of people said they did. But what happened, of course, was Luxon got what we would call a bad headline. And the Nats seem to have been so caught up in short-term thinking up to this point that they were terrified of bad headlines, and so they felt the need to always go and fix the bad headlines immediately. But what they failed to understand is two things. One, a bad headline is just a bad headline. Most people do not even see the headline. What's more damaging is that they see the Nats admit that they got something wrong and apologise for it. Second, what the media thinks no longer bears any resemblance to what ordinary people think. There is a real groundswell, unfortunately, in this country of distrust in the media and anti-media sentiment. So as mental as it sounds, the Nats actually could take a leaf out of Trump's book here. Ignore the media. Go over their heads. Talk to people directly. And stop trying to make everyone, including the media, like them. And hopefully what we're seeing today is the start of a bit of a change in approach from the Nats.
I've commented on this before, but I do find it interesting how many News Talk ZB hosts seem obliged or feel obliged to offer campaign advice, not just to National, but to all the parties. Do we invoice them for that?
News Talk ZB.
Meanwhile, in the world of sport, we've got a conversation about whether Djokovic is the greatest player of all time. Of course he isn't, because he's such an idiot, and we don't like him. So he can't be, no matter how many games he actually wins. That sucks to be him. But anyway, it led to Simon lamenting the state of modern tennis yesterday.
I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and watched Novak Djokovic get the 23rd Grand Slam title in the tennis to become the greatest Grand Slam title holder ever.
It was a good game too, wasn't it?
Man, it was a... Well, no.
No?
It was boring.
Oh, well, we really just saw the highlights on the TV then, obviously.
No, exactly. You saw the three shots that they showed you were the best shots of the whole game.
Okay.
It was boring. It right. actually shows this incredible chasm between the likes of Rafa and Alcaraz, who's was the world number one, and Djokovic. And when Federer was around, Federer been very spoiled over the last decade with those guys, because the next level, there's some okay guys, but Zverev's okay. I say okay, of course, you know, that's comparing them with their own ilk, not like you or me, because they're geniuses, all of them. But yeah, it was, I don't know, it's just kind of, Casper Ruud's fourth best in the world, Djokovic when he played him was the third best ranked player, but it was just night and day.
Yeah.
You know, you, every time it got even remotely tense, Djokovic would just go, hey, how do you like these beans? Smack!
Yeah, true. Hey, but is he the GOAT, the greatest of all time?
I'm just not that guy that says, oh, he's the GOAT, she's the GOAT, everybody's a GOAT. No, I just think different eras, different generations. Same as rugby. Colin Meads in his generation was
true
the greatest
that.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And yeah, just Roger Federer, in terms of beauty and technique, to me, is just the most sublime tennis player. Rafael Nadal, in terms of competitiveness, brute strength, athleticism, never say die, best ever. Djokovic is Djokovic, and he's, you know, I don't know. So
he's also 36 years of age, which really surprised me.
I know, and when he played Alcaraz in the semi-final, Alcaraz has just turned 20, so it was like
jeepers. Crazy.
It's a bit like playing against your dad, isn't it? When there comes a point where you can beat your dad, if you hang in there long enough. I used to play my dad at badminton. I don't know if I ever played him at singles. Did I ever play him at singles? I'm sure I would have remembered if I had ever played him at singles. But it's hard to know whether I ever got better than him. He was wily, he had a lot of tricks. He wasn't a power player, he was a tricky player. Dad?
News Talk, Zed Bean.
Anyway, I don't know how we ended up talking about badminton. We should be talking about keeping the Wallabies out. I don't mean the rugby team.
Well, exciting news on the Wallaby front. Man, oh man, are they building a massive containment area. Wow. Anyone across this story? ODT's reporting it's also been in the Environment Southland News. Sorry, Environment Canterbury News. So they're building a fence. Man, we're getting a 48-kilometre fence this country, and it's to keep the wallabies out. And this is an exciting story. So the fence goes, right? I'll explain this. It goes all the way from, I've got to click on the map, it goes all the way from the Waitaki River right up to the Rangitata River. So she's a massive kind of a unit. 48 kilometres long is this fence, and that's what they're doing. This is to keep the wallabies from stopping, getting them into Mount Cook Park. Yeah. They said over the past 10 years, wallabies have been spreading out of the containment zone into the Mackenzie Basin, and we can't afford to let them spread and establish further. So that's what's happening. Fence construction will take place in stages over a few years, and it's government funded. Wow. Anyway, $1.4 million fence. This is what that's come to in this country with these damn wallabies. If they spread, it could cost $84 million a year by 2025. That's because they eat the grass and you got to go out and get them. They're hard to get. I don't know how you'll drive through this fence. It's not clear at this stage.
Thinking some kind of gate, probably. That's what I'd do. And taking the fence apart and putting it back together again every time somebody needs to drive through it, that seems over the top. Did you say $1.7 million? That doesn't seem very much. For a 48-kilometre fence. I must have misheard that. I'm Glenn ZB. A lot of wallabies, eh? So keep forgetting that they're here. Taking over. It's the wallaby apocalypse. No, I can't make that work. I'll try writing it down for a headline and see if I can make it work that way. Sometimes it works out better. I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB. We'll be back with more classic animal name headlines tomorrow. See you then.
News Talk. ZB. For more from News Talk ZB, listen live, on air, or online, and keep our shows with you wherever you go with our podcasts on iHeartRadio.